come, come, come uninvited. Fire. I don't care which side that you fight it. Gonna get you gone.
Welcome back, everybody, to Rack Rants, a Killjoys fan podcast for the last time this season. I'm Justin.
And I'm Hank.
I know. It's sad to say. It's always over. I know. It's over with. The season is...
It's so damn fast, too.
Yeah, the 10 episodes go by really quickly. But luckily, thank goodness, we do know now that the season has been renewed. I don't know if we knew that the last time that we podcasted. I don't think so, right?
No, I don't think so. Because they renewed it the day that it played at Fan Expo in Canada.
That's right.
That was on Thursday before the finale, yeah.
Awesome. I couldn't remember exactly when they had renewed it and everything.
No, and last year the season ended, and it took a couple of months before they even announced the renewal. Because I was reading back my finale review last year on TV Fanatic, and was like, man, you guys have to renew this show. It's so good.
Yeah, thank God they didn't do that again, because that kind of gets old if you just keep doing a show like that over and over again. Because, you know, for comparison's sakes, Narcos season 2 just came out like this past weekend. Over the weekend, Narcos season 2 came out, and then I think it was today or yesterday for Labor Day, they came out with the announcement that it's been renewed for 2 more seasons.
Yeah.
You can
start writing, you can start shooting it, and your schedule's, you know, early, and you're not pressed for time later in post and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. You're not making sure that these actors are not doing some other job because they were sitting around waiting for a phone call to say, hey, season 3 has been renewed. You got a job. You got a paycheck again. So that's been very nice to see that they got renewed. Plus, I know that had to be like a really cool, fun weekend for all the cast and crew that happened to be at Fan Expo Canada, because I mean, they're not filming right now. Now, Michelle Arreta is, you know, she's putting everything in motion, and she's probably doing a lot of work behind the scenes. But the actors and everything, I'm sure they haven't gotten scripts yet or anything like that. So it was probably just a nice little party weekend for them.
It looked like a blast, man. I wish I could just go up there for that kind of thing, fly up for the day.
Yeah, that would have been incredible. I've never been to Canada before, so... yeah, I would love to go up to Canada, especially.
Well, I hope to be
like
back.
That.
Maybe you can come. We'll do the next set visit together.
That would be incredible. I would
next year, February, around February.
I would love to go. Before we get into anything, well, it's something to do with the episode, because we're going to be recapping the finale, episode 10 of season 2, How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. Is that what it was?
No,
it's How to Kill Friends and Influence People.
And Influence People.
That's the movie that I was thinking about the entire time. It's that Simon. I think it's the Simon Pegg movie. How did I not remember that? Whenever we were talking to Sour Power, yeah, that movie is How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
Oh, okay.
But you're talking about going to the season 3 set visit.
Yeah, next year.
Are they going to be on Lucy?
I hope so. We did get to see a bunch of the sets, so.
Well, no, I'm just saying because, you know, at the end of this episode, Johnny's leaving, and that was, you know, a lot of people seem to be glossing over that fact that he's getting on another ship, and it's not Lucy powered.
Right.
Are we going to come back next season?
Klein powered, right?
Yeah, it's Klein powered.
It's Klein's old ship with Clara piloting.
Yeah.
No, it looks like it's going to be the search for Johnny, at least for a portion of the season, right?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a search for him or not. I did go to, because, you know, Michelle Arreta, she does those post-show interviews with the TV junkies.
Right.
Which are fantastic. And that was brought up was the fact that, you know, Johnny's leaving and everything at the end of this episode. Let me find the exact same thing. Yeah, because it's Bridget, right, that does
these? Bridget.
Yeah, Bridget does these interviews.
Shout out to Bridget.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I love reading them every week after the episode airs.
Awesome.
Yeah, you get a lot of in-depth knowledge and little juicy details that happened in the episodes, because, of course, Michelle Arreta is the showrunner and does everything behind the scenes on the show, as well as writing and, you know, some of the episodes. But there was a question that says, between that scene with Delcea and the one following with Lucy, Aaron Ashmore just about broke my heart. Is it wrong that I'm so invested in the relationship between a man and his ship?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so true. And
she said, if it's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what Michelle Arreta said. And we've brought that up previously whenever we interviewed Aaron Ashmore as well as Tamsin, The fact that there definitely seems to be, there's something there between the two of them. And Michelle Avretta, you know, she basically tipped her cap to them. The fact that, one, Aaron Ashmore can pull off these scenes, and it seems like they have this amazing relationship when he's basically talking to a wall.
Right.
And then, you know, Tamsin, she comes in and she does all this stuff in post, and she can, like, you know, make this
work
emotional connection. Yeah. And they do such a nice job. But yeah, she was kind of discussing the fact that it's not really going to be Johnny's gone and we're going to have to go get him or anything. Even though she did say that, you know, obviously not everything is set in stone and there's still things moving around as far as
right.
the script and the plot's concerned. But I don't think that it's going to happen that way. And I don't even know if Clara's going to come back. You know, I'm sure you're going to be saddened by that.
She'll be back.
I don't know. See, I almost feel like it's just going to be.
He's got to come back. Come on.
I mean,
well, Michelle
I would
did
love
say,
it.
I think in that same article that if Stephanie, you know, is available, if she's, you know, got time in her schedule, she'd love to have her back. But nothing is, you know, set in stone yet. So.
Yeah. Was this because this is exactly what she said. She said, obviously, he's one of our amazing trio of leads and going to be back in short order. But I needed him to have the chance of a new vista and the opportunity to kick the dust off his boots and
right.
look at what he's done, what this season was about for him, and come back to us a really composed, grounded character with maybe some scars that will make him a more valuable asset to the team. So maybe you're right. Maybe I don't think
maybe
it'll be
just in the first episode back.
Yeah.
Well, he'll be out for a while.
I think it could be fun. I mean, good God, I would love to see an episode with Johnny and Clara together off using that shotgun arm blasting
right.
bad guys away.
And then he finds out that Delsea survived.
Yes.
So he doesn't feel too bad and just comes back.
Yeah, and has to come back.
Because I said in my review, there's no way she had a little smile there at the end, you know, that said.
Yeah.
But she said she wasn't a six, right? Because she was trying to negotiate with Klein for immortality or the green or whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I just got the impression she'll be back and she didn't die from that gunshot wound.
I really feel like she's going to be back as well.
Yeah.
I think that one in that same interview, Michelle Loretta, she pointed out the fact that
it's sci-fi, right?
It's sci-fi, you know, genre TV. And also that her and Dutch have such fantastic on-screen chemistry.
Yeah.
And that's honestly, she said that's where a lot of things changed because of their chemistry worked so well together
mm-hmm.
that she wanted to make Delsea a more prominent role in the show. And yeah, I don't think she's dead.
And she also said about Rob Stewart that she loves Rob Stewart. And if there's some way that, you know, Klein can be a part of the next season, she's going to try and figure that out.
Yeah. Maybe
flashbacks or something, but.
I hope so. All right. So we're all over the place right now.
Yeah.
But
so much to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about. So you were talking about last season's finale. Just comparing the two really quickly, which one did you like more?
This one.
Any particular reason or?
Well, that space battle, man. I had been waiting for that. I think that dogfight, you know, Star Wars type space battle. All of last season. And I know, you know, it's doesn't have the budget that some of these bigger TV shows have and all that. But, man, they really delivered, and it looked fantastic. It was a fun time. And to me, this show very much reminds me of a Star Wars kind of vibe. You know, they got the jokers and, you know, telling their funny one-liners and that kind of stuff. And then at the same time, it can be serious. It has a great mythology, but, you know, it's fun at the same time.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Yeah. I did like the finale with Davin on Arkin. I thought that reveal was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, in the first season. But this one just had so many little elements and everything kind of came together. And it had all these emotional beats throughout. So my face was all watering up. My eyes were all watering up, you know, with both Hannah and the Klein scene. And then later with Aaron and with Lucy. So, yeah.
So you liked it more, though.
Yeah, it just hit me harder, I guess.
I can see
everything,
that.
Yeah, that happened throughout the whole season.
I'd have to go back and watch exactly what transpired in the season one finale. I will say that for some reason, the first 20 minutes of this one, it didn't grab me as much as I wanted it to. Like, I just...
I had to go back and watch the first half again.
Yeah, I watched it twice.
Yeah, it did lose me a little bit. It was a lot of explaining and a lot of exposition and, you know, filling in the blanks because they had to tell us where Klein came from and, you know, all that kind of stuff and the fairy tale part of it. But once it kicked in, you know, it was fantastic after that.
Oh, for sure. The last 20 minutes of this episode were spectacular to me. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. I think the thing that did it for me that was in the first 20 minutes that I was a little bit off in it, I understand it, but it was still a little bit off-putting to me, was I felt like Johnny was so quick to get over Potter at the very beginning. That, I mean, and that's how, once you watch the full episode, you realize it, that he was just kind of, he was just compartmentalizing that hurt in order to complete the mission. And so, like, when I finished the episode as a whole, like, I understood where they were going with the first 20 minutes, with it's just like, you know, he's kind of cracking some one-liners, he's having fun with Lucy and the space battle and everything, and it worked. Like, overall, it did work, but I will say that for whatever reason, yeah, the first couple of minutes, it just didn't captivate me as much. The flashback was great, but it was confusing as hell. Klein's an alien, right?
Well, he's not exactly human. He's Holland, I think they called it.
Exactly.
So that organism that lives in the goo is sentient. You know, it's smart. So once he bonded with it, he's not really human anymore. But it looks like he was from outside the quad originally anyway.
Okay.
Right? And that ship, that organic ship that, what's his name, talked about coming and invading his home world.
Yeah.
God, I keep forgetting that dude's name. The guy that Dutch slices his throat.
I can't remember his name either, but I know you're
talking. San Romwell.
Yeah.
Yeah, him. So that was the ship, you know, we saw there at the end. So it seems like those people got to wherever Klein's planet was, you know, and he got assimilated at that point, and then they traveled into the quad.
But my question is this, and, you know, maybe hopefully you know the answer because I do not. So with all the flashback and the backstory that we were given at the beginning, it kind of told about Klein's, you know, it's all about Klein at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you pointed out that he's Hullen.
Right.
So is it literally like the plasma is a sentient being and it attaches to a human form?
Yeah, whatever it bonds to, whether it's the mossipede or whatever it bonds to, it creates a new type of organism. So he's not exactly human, you know, because he's six or whatever, but because he has that other parasite or whatever it is.
I guess I'm just confused because I'm trying to picture in my mind what would the physical form of the Hullen look like.
It's microscopic. It's okay. That's saw through the.
So that's it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And so the Hullen invaded, and they brokered a deal between the nine.
Yeah. Once they bonded with Klein and his people, that's when they came up with that deal. You know, generations ago.
Okay.
And basically, it was because they found that pure source on Arkin.
Gotcha.
You know, and they wanted. What confused me was the talk of there's more of it out there.
Yeah, you said there's so more in the J.
Yeah, in the J, but I guess that's it for the quad. So does that mean we're going outside the quad next season?
I think the quad is gone.
That's what it seems like, right?
Yeah.
Now
they got to
find this other source.
Yeah, that was something Michelle had pointed out. They just kind of talked about the fact that they wanted Potter's memory to live on. Within Old Town and everything, and that was kind of like the meaning behind her character's death. It was just that that her name would live on and her name would stand for something to these people of Old Town. And
I
everything.
Like that she compared her to like Joan of Arc, you know, these types of she had to kind of become a martyr to save her people.
Exactly.
So that's why I don't think it was wasteful. I know a lot of people have been complaining in the comment section and my reviews and stuff that, oh, it was just her plot and this and that. No, but that was her purpose. That was the character's, you know, point.
Yeah.
She had to represent the people and then die for that cause.
Exactly. And I mean, that's kind of what we see happening in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you've explained a little bit of that opening for me because I was still a little bit confused. But then there's one other thing that I was confused about. Why was the green coming out of Dutch's eyes? Or was that not
Dutch's? That's Anila.
That's Anila. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was.
So Anila ate that little fruit or whatever that I guess the Holland had already bonded with.
Yep.
And I guess he explained that the first few were different and imperfect, and the way it affected her was she went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Very good definition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what I thought. I wasn't 100% certain that that was Anila because they kind of kept going back and forth between Anila and a younger Dutch. And so I kept kind of getting a little bit confused with the way that they had laid out those flashbacks. So
what's weird is that he doesn't know why Dutch looks like Anila. Because I thought maybe he had an answer, you know, about that. But she was a surprise to him and kind of changed, you know, his purpose and everything. So it's got to have something to do with cloning or, I mean, because she can't be her daughter, Anila's daughter.
Why not?
Because Anila's Holland. So Dutch would be part six, right?
Yes.
It would be part of her DNA.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
That's the thing that I'm curious about, because we do know that, you know, all roads are leading right now to Anila and
a
Dutch
huge
showdown.
Face off.
Yeah. Like they're face off. They're going to meet next season. Like that's the thing. You know, I was super sad about losing Klein, but I totally understand the reasonings behind why Klein would need to go. Like, you know, now Dutch is off on her own. She can make her own decisions.
She's free. Like
she's free. And yeah, now she doesn't have to, she's not going to be questioning everything about Klein going forward. Now it's all about Anila and everything. But I don't know.
Doppelgangers. I love doppelgangers. You know that?
Yeah, doppelgangers are
so
awesome.
So it's going to be great to see Hannah acting opposite herself.
Yeah, because have we heard Anila talk all that much?
No, I don't think so.
Like, I'm really straining my brain right now. It's not working very well right now, but I'm straining it.
She said a couple of things here and there, but it was in, you know, that kind of that dream state when she saw her in the cave and whatever.
Yeah.
I think she did say something there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm very anxious to see them together on screen and both talking and having conversations with one another.
That's gonna be wild.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice seeing a little bit of Orphan Black on Killjoys next season. It's gonna be a whole lot of fun. I mean, I don't know. Can we automatically rule out that's not Dutch's mom?
I don't know. That's the only thing I'm thinking. If she was already at that point bonded with the, you know,
because it's very interesting. And even the way that Klein describes it, you know, he's like, I saw a face that I never thought that I would see again.
Right.
What does that mean? What's he talking about?
I don't know.
Like,
because I'm just going by the fact that Neela and Klein are hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't know much about Dutch's mom, right?
Do we know anything
about Anila's mom, for that matter?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that lady, but in order to survive and be immortal, you'd have to have some kind of bond with, you know, with the Holland. So that's just what throws me, that if Dutch, she's cut herself and, you know, we've established that she's not a six.
Yeah.
So if she's human, she can't really be related to these women that are part of Holland. I don't know. Or that are a few hundred years old. So that's what throws me for a loop.
It throws me too, for sure. There's no doubt about it. I'm just trying to think if there's like some way that you know, there's certain characters in movies or books or TV shows that they're this all powerful being, but like the switch hasn't came on yet.
Okay.
You know, for some reason, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, I bumped my head, so I got my superpowers all of a sudden. You know, like, or
it could be that someone or with a scientist or something found a way to switch it off.
Yeah.
You know, and Anila had a baby.
I'm trying to think, what's that show where they, like, I mean, it's a similar plot device that, I mean, I'm sure millions of shows, movies, or books have used before, where, you know, they go in and do some kind of neurological tinkering, and so like that way you just completely forget some of these memories, right, or something like that, or, you know, I'm trying to think, was it X-Men? Did X-Men just do it? I'm trying to remember what movie I just watched where they did it. And this person kind of like they just like lost all their powers, or they forgot that they had powers.
I don't remember.
Maybe it's literally the show Powers. Like now I'm thinking back because I started watching that, you know, to some people, terrible show Powers on the PlayStation. But to
I know
me,
it got canceled, right?
It did get canceled
after the second season.
It had really, really bad special effects, but I happen to like it quite a bit. I don't know why. I mean, I sometimes like bad TV. It's not great. It's not great, but I liked it. But there was a character on there, literally the main guy, Sharto Copley's character. He loses his powers, but it was because of some other power that kind of
zapped him.
Did some kind of zapping of him. I don't know. The story's a little bit convoluted. But okay, let's move on past Powers because nobody cared about it because it definitely got canceled. And I may be one of the only few people in the world that actually
watched it.
Enjoyed it. Well,
but
some
it
people
was only
watched
on PlayStation,
it.
Right?
It was only, yeah, that's just the thing. I'm like,
that's the problem, yeah.
How do you only cancel a show on PlayStation? Like, I mean, how are you going to watch it if you don't own a PlayStation? So maybe that's you can true. Buy it too. I don't know. Okay, so what was that? There was one other place that I wanted to go with the opening. Oh, I really love the bank spot that they went to, the archives.
The archive, yeah.
Am I the only one that reminded them of Gringotts from Harry Potter?
No.
That's the first place I went.
It also reminded me of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
You know, when they went to, yeah.
That's very true. I could see.
When they
I could,
went to the bank.
I could definitely see Game of Thrones as well.
Except here we had some fun Davin and Fancy Lee moments.
Oh my God. They are so,
that was
so
awesome.
Good together.
Yeah. Like, when he said, just face it, I'm superior physiologically. And the other one's like, cool down, you're a 6, not a 10.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that.
They work so well together. You know, I would say it's just maybe it seems like everybody that's paired with Dav is great. So
yeah.
I mean, I love every pairing with him. So I'm gonna give a lot of credit to Luke McFarlane. Like he's well, obviously in the writing as well. Because I mean,
yeah.
You know, when Fancy delivered the "Don't worry, I'll tell everybody you died sexy."
Yeah,
that line was great. And I'm really, really hoping for some more Fancy next season. To you know, I know you love Pri. You know, I think Fancy's my character that I just love
I
so much. Oh
yeah,
yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, I think he'll be back. I'm hoping that he just gets a more prominent role on the show. I mean, instead of just Klein's, you know, sidekick. So
yeah, it's hard because there's so many characters, and I thought there was going to be a lot more Pri. It seemed like this season would involve more Pri stuff and the Warlord years, but I guess they're going to save that, you know, for down the line. But maybe with Klein now, you know, deceased. That gives some other characters a chance to shine a little bit more.
I don't know, man. I'm still really I'm butthurt about Klein getting killed.
Yeah, it was weird. I wasn't expecting that.
No, he did.
I thought, man, he's so tied into this whole story of the Sixes and the green goo, and you know.
And he's just such a good character on the
show.
Oh, for sure. Like I thought that he. The little bit of backstory to me did not explain enough for me. Like, I need more explanation of him. Just like, you know, his story, his character, his background. Like, I feel like that there's so much more there to be mined.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen. Like, it's weird because has he been working on another show while they filmed season 2? Because I could have swore he was going to have a whole lot bigger of a role in season 2. And then it just kind of never happened. Like we just kept thinking like, oh, next episode's going to be.
That's true. He was just sprinkled. Yeah. Here and there throughout the season. No, I don't think he was shooting anything else. Not that I know of. Hmm. I mean, I know he appeared on, what's that show? He played a priest about Slasher. But I think that was filmed before the second season of Killjoys.
Huh.
Also in Canada.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure, but they use him very sparingly, and I did kind of miss him this season.
Yeah, I missed him a lot. I mean, I'm anxious to go back and watch all of season two again now that we've got all the episodes and we can kind of binge watch it because
we know where it's going. And because the first time you're kind of like really thrown off. Yes. That's why I went back and I watched the finale again the same night. I watched it back to back. So I finished it and I thought, okay, let me see again that beginning so I get it a little better. And I watched it that same night twice. So by the time I did my review, I think that was the fifth time that I saw it.
Oh, my God.
And then I live tweeted the finale. So that was time number six. Yeah.
Good Lord, Hank. That's a lot of Killjoy viewings.
I'll watch it again when I do a binge of the whole 10 episodes.
Yeah. It'll be fun binge watching everything. I'm curious if we'll uncover secrets that we didn't notice in the first initial viewings because we didn't know where things were headed and whatnot. I'd almost even say like season one maybe.
I did find that in season one, that once you get to the end and you go back and you binge it, there's all these little things, clues that lead to that finale that you had no idea, when you first watched the episodes. Yeah. So I'm sure season two's got them.
Well, that's what Michelle Avreda said. She said that she's, they've sprinkled basically breadcrumbs for you if you're really, really paying attention or you can catch those things that you would have caught exactly what was going on with Klein. And I still don't really ultimately understand Del Sea's motivation other than wanting to be immortal. I understand that, like, on a very base level, it's just the fact that she's totally self-preservation, self-motivation to be immortal. But whenever Klein was talking about that the plasma is the reason for the invasion for this of this alien race
of the quad,
of the quad and everything. So the nun, one of them being her mom, Potter's mom, she talked about that she was going to scorch Kresh. That's where they were. Like
that's why she was inventing that virus, freezing agent thing. Yeah,
and so
they couldn't take over.
That had to be a part of it, right? Like she knew that would kill off the plasma and everything, or at least I hoped it would kill off the plasma. So then this alien race. So I mean, that to me, that's got to be an Easter egg right there that she like laid out in front of us. Like there's somebody that is wanting the resources. Because she didn't say like money or anything like that, or wealth or whatever. They just wanted these resources. So I don't know. It's interesting to think about.
Yeah, there's still so much more to find out.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be a reason. I mean, that plasma, maybe that huge-ass ship needs pure plasma to power it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or their world is dying and they're looking for other sources of the plasma. But Del Sea, what confused me a little bit was when Klein called her up and said, we got to take care of Dutch. They've become a liability or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like he backstabbed them there for a second. But then really, he was reaching out to Del Sea, and I'm assuming he gave Johnny her whereabouts later so he could find her.
Well,
he wasn't really setting up the team.
I don't think that was him at all. Like, I think that was just some kind of video trick. Of Johnny's.
Oh,
yeah, and,
okay.
And that's why, at the very end, he says, technology's a bitch just like you. And
oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think that was actually Klein.
That was
I feel
Klein
like
at all.
That was some kind of, like, he used some imagery of Klein and, like, a voice. A voice changer or something. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it wasn't explained very well, but that's what I gathered from that was just that wasn't even Klein, period. Like, Klein wasn't even aware that call was made to Del Sea. That was one of my favorite moments from this episode. Probably one of my favorite moments ever on the show. I mean, good God, Aaron Ashmore, like he dominated that scene. It was it was so amazing. Whenever
he was so good in those last few episodes.
Oh yeah, he was really, really good, and that's when the episode to me like cemented itself as like one of my favorite episodes of Killjoys, is whenever He's at the bar, and you know he's trying to put on this good face, and you know as everybody does, like whenever you're, everybody deals with loss in a different form or fashion. Like, you know, some people just completely break down, and other people's, they close down, and they just they don't even seem like they have any emotion. Like, they're completely stone faced, and that's kind of how Johnny was throughout the entire episode. He's still funny. He still had those moments, you know, of fun, but whenever he, you know, he cheers with Davin and Dutch, and then he sees Potter laying on the floor, and he has that flashback, and they go to the bar, and him and Pri have that conversation, and you know that was super sad. I mean, I wanted to cry, but I didn't. I didn't cry. I kept
it. And Pri was wearing red and red makeup in honor of Potter.
In honor of red. So, but yeah, whenever he went out there to Delsea, though, and just like the look he had on his face, and
he killed it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that line that he gave her, I'm going to paraphrase it, you know, when he said, just so you know, and then he says a little bit later after he says a few other things, he says, I'm not a hero, I just loved her.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that was a good-ass line.
That was awesome.
Kudos to Michelle Lavretta, or I think it was Jeremy Boxen, whoever came up with that line. Yeah,
wrote the finale, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic job on that
one. And Aaron delivered it like a pro.
He did. He definitely.
And the scene also with Lucy. I mean, yeah, no, all that stuff. But that's how you know that you're really invested in these characters and the actors and, you know, the world, when it touches you and it hurts you and you tear up.
Yeah.
You know, if not, what's the point?
Exactly.
We watch the stuff to get away and, you know, to join that escape to that world, you know, for a little while.
For sure.
And it's got to touch you. But there's so many shows that I watch, and sci-fi shows, where I don't connect like that with the characters. So that's a testament to the actors and, you know, and the writing.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I'm excited to see where they go in season 3. You know, I'm curious.
It's war now, baby.
Yeah. I guess I'm very curious to see how they can expand on the story in season 3. Like, is a Neela, you know, is she a part of this Hullen, this alien race, that is she literally just trying to take all of the plasma for herself? That's kind of where I'm really, really curious to find out more about the motivations of her character in season 3. Like, you know, everything that's happened right now, it just kind of seems like she's just like this mega biatch is just trying to do whatever she wants to Klein and to Dutch, even though we really haven't seen her interact with Dutch physically, right?
Right.
At least we don't know. Maybe she was actually there. And that's kind of where when I go back and watch this, I'm like, okay, was she actually physically there, or was this some memory of this individual? Because Dutch has seen this person or interacted with this person in a past life or past something. Because we still don't know how old Dutch is, right? We don't know if she's truly like, you know, 20-something-year-old person. Do we?
No, we don't. No,
am I thinking like way more into this? Because, I mean, Klein is old as hell. Anila's old as hell.
But they're Hullen.
They look great. They look fantastic.
They're immortal, or...
Yeah, I'm like, give me some of those.
Dutch is supposed to be mortal. That's what, you know, confuses me a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely confuses me, and that's why I can't wait to find out, you know, more about that story in season 3. I'm hoping that they also get a little bit bigger of a budget in season 3.
Well, you saw it was Space Channel's highest rated show like ever.
Yeah,
Killjoys. So, at least from their end.
Yeah, sci-fi. You
know, maybe they should push for a little more budget, yeah.
Fork over that dough, sci-fi.
Yeah, it's worth it. The show is just expanding and, you know, get it to the right people. That's why I said I closed up my review saying, get these guys to San Diego Comic-Con. Put them in front of the sci-fi fans, you know.
Exactly.
Air their spots on other channels, and they got to do a better job of spreading the, you know, the word of about the show.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean,
The recent Dark Matter, you know, Dark Matter's ratings all season have been consistently higher than Killjoys, but they've been on Netflix.
You know,
since
the
season closed, the first season was a few months after, right on Netflix. And people, the girl that reviews for TV Fanatic discovered it on Netflix and loved it, and then reviewed it the second year. She never watched it originally when it aired.
Gotcha.
You know, so that's how people are finding this stuff. Yeah. You got to put it in front of the right people.
They ain't finding it on Hulu, people.
No, come on.
Hulu. It sucks. I have Hulu, so I can tell you firsthand. Yeah, I've got Hulu. I mean, I had it for CW. Like, that's literally the only reason why I had it, because it's like, you know, I can watch my Zombie, my Flash, my
like
Arrow.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day and everything. And now that they lost that to Netflix, not so good.
Well, I
for
watch
them.
Netflix. I watch everything pretty much through the Apple TV. Mm-hmm. You know, so I have Netflix right there on Apple TV. And if it's something like the CW app still hasn't come to Apple TV.
Yeah.
But I can just, you know, stream the app to my TV from the iPad.
Oh, nice.
So I do it like that. But everything that's on Netflix, you know, people discover shows. Like right now, Supergirl's coming out on the 10th, I think, of this month before the second season.
Yeah.
I skipped it when it aired because I watched 3 or 4 and I was like, no, this show didn't work. But now that I know it's tied in to the whole Arrowverse and we're having 4-show crossovers and all that shit, I'm going to go back and watch the season. You know,
is it on Netflix?
It comes out on Saturday, the 10th of September.
Oh, okay, on
the
Netflix.
First season of Supergirl will be on Netflix, yeah.
Okay, nice. Cool.
And that's how you can binge it quick and, you know, you're caught up for when the second season starts. So they have to put Killjoys 1 and 2 up there. So
well,
for the third season, folks are ready.
They failed on that epically, though. I mean, they did the same. I mean, they do that with 12 Monkeys. It's on Hulu. It's just like the Strain's on Hulu. I'm like, good God. I mean, the Strain probably would have a lot bigger fan base.
Yeah.
You know, but it just doesn't. So
I guess it depends on the studio and who owns the
you
know, the rights to the stuff. And
exactly.
So I don't know. But I keep pestering Temple Street and Sci-Fi and these guys. Get it on freaking Netflix.
Yeah. Get to do it. All right. So final thoughts on season 2, episode 10. And what's your bold prediction?
You know, I gave it five bacons.
He gave it 5 bacons.
Last episode, I said 5 bacons. Now I think I'm like at 7 bacons every time I watch
goodness.
It. I love it more. And I gave it 5 stars in my review. I did 2 episodes this season got 5 stars, The Isle of Lucy and this finale.
Oh,
those were pretty much, my 2 favorites this season.
Nice.
So predictions for next season is Anila versus Dutch. I think Johnny will be back quick. They can't keep that trio apart, you know, too long, and I really am hoping Clara sticks around for a few episodes.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see more of Pri's background and more fancy, you know, and even a little more about Alvis.
Yeah. I think that, for me, the thing that's gotten completely lost, and I don't know kind of why it got lost, and I feel like it needs to be explored more, but, you know, we never really figured out what the hell's going on with Davin. Like, he's got these powers, but we don't ultimately know why.
Well, they said it was from the military experiments.
Yeah, but...
But I'm wondering, how did Klein synthesize that?
Yeah.
You know, if it's from when they messed with his brain and whatever they did, you know, in the military experiments, how did Klein synthesize that into a toxin?
Did we ever figure out why the military did this?
No, like, I think we're trying to make super soldiers. And they were trying to control their emotions or whatever so they can trigger that aggressive nature on command, you know?
Well, also, they wouldn't be able to be controlled by the Hullen, right?
Right.
I mean, I think that's probably the biggest reason why. But it's just like we kind of have to assume that, which is fair. You know, we don't have to have everything spoon-fed to us or anything like that. Sometimes I feel like an idiot or a dumb, and I need it sometimes. But
not a dumb. It's just a lot of different options, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it could be anything.
I feel like that's ultimately it. But it was just something that was an avenue that really wasn't fully explored.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious if they are going to explore that further in season 3. I mean, that was something that she said in that TV Junkies interview. Is just that she's not 100% sure if they're going to be maintaining Kreshi politics. You know, she doesn't know if they're going to be sticking to the Quad. But ultimately, there is this alien race that is wanting to invade, you know, everything on the show, the world of the characters on the show, not invade it in a polite way. They want to take things over. Yeah. So I still feel like that maybe, like, Davin, I feel like he needs to have some more stuff explored in season three. I'm with you. I can't wait for Anila in Dutch Showdown. It's going to be so great. I can't wait to see Hannah just have a lot of fun playing two personality types.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, that's going to be a blast. And yeah, I want to find out who Anila is to Dutch, like, you know.
And definitely a little more budget because we need more space battles and shit like that. I love that stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, well, we want to know all your thoughts on. Oh, and by the way, I gave the episode. I think I would give it 4.5 bacons out of 5. So not your all seven, right. Not your seven, but you know, still
that's a fair.
Very good score. But we want to know your thoughts. What do you think is going to happen in season 3 of Killjoys? We really appreciate you guys and gals listening to us. We don't really know who you are. We would love to hear back from people for season 3.
You
know, get
maybe we need to set up an 800 number or something.
Something. I mean,
where they can send us an audio file or something, and then we'll play it and answer it, or you know.
For sure, we would love to include some listener feedback and comments for next season. You know, help us digest some of the plot points of the show. Or just like your favorite lines, because there's so many damn good ones in the show. you can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. And if you enjoy other cool genre TV shows, we're currently covering The Strain. Our podcast for that is called The Ranting Munchers. And I know. And Kevin Durant needs to come on and just, like, you know, have
fun. And laugh with us, Ranting Munchers.
Yeah. And, of course, Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead when it comes back. And then we'll be also
covering
Westworld. That's the
Man,
big one.
That
I
looks
think.
Good.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. It looks really, really good. I'm super excited. But, yeah, we're covering all those. So, yeah, go look on rantpocalypse.com. Hank's going to be doing some stuff for sci-fi shows that are coming on in the fall. We may be doing a podcast covering just all sci-fi shows, just kind of quickly running down like what we watched this week on sci-fi. So make sure
that sounds fun.
You look at rantpocalypse.com, you know, keep updated with what we got going on. And we really appreciate you guys and gals for listening to us. So, all right, that's it. We're
that's
done.
It. Praise the trees.
Yeah, praise those trees. Season's over with. The warrant is all.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming and I reap what I done sowed. Hey, hey. Well, let me tell you something. All that glitters ain't gold.